just to be near him, to feel his presence. I have a longing in my heart for him. Amen. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Happy to be here. Appreciate the song service and Matthew's song that you wrote, I guess. Is that right, Matthew? You wrote that song? Amen. So, Jamie said, I don't remember you singing like that. Amen. So, he didn't learn that from me, but what I appreciate is he has a desire to serve God.
Amen.
And isn't that what we want?
Hallelujah.
People to serve the Lord in the best way they can and to find him. To know him is to love him.
Amen.
To know him is to love him. And I feel like he came and touched me. But I want to know him more.
Amen.
I want to know him more. Amen. So thank you, Jeremy and Laura. Just a couple announcements. We do have a fellowship meal today. And so everybody's welcome to come and have something to eat, break bread together, and be a blessing today. You may have noticed the parking lot was sealed and striped. It looks better, I think. And the building was painted, too. You might notice like, the front was peeling a lot, and the wall was cleaned and painted. And I hope we didn't damage any plants, Norma. But so I know we had to push some things back on the top of the wall. And then they tried to put a concrete on the ramp where there was some bumps, and the painting guy said, I did that. I fixed that for no charge, because if that was my church, I would want the ramp. I thought that was nice, the ramp like that. So he's going to come back, and we're going to put that gray paint, Jeremy, with the shark bite on the different gray parts, and then it should be done. We're working on the sign. We found somebody that's going to help us with the sign. And we're also going to help our neighbor with the fence. He's struggling for funds to. So we cut down some big limbs off that big tree, and we're going to help him with the fence.
Amen.
And I wrote something else down here, and I can't read it. You know, that's bad when you can't read your own writing. So there's something else that we're going to do, but. Praise the Lord. You know, the beauty of the church is not the building. The beauty of the church is the character of the people. Because the building is not the church. We always talk about a church building. But the church is called out. It's the people of God that are called out. And that's you and I. We've been called out from this world. We've been called out from denominationalism. There was a voice in this last day. Come out of her, my people. Be not partaker of her sins. And so we were drawn out of those things. And I believe God did that for us.
Yes.
And so, because I can't read that last point.
We're going to block this, guys.
That's it. It says block. We're putting a concrete barrier over here. There was a driveway to the garage over there, but that older man died. And I promised the township I'd leave it open until he passed away or he sold the property. So it's amazing. If I put a curb all the way through there, I need a permit. But if I just put a concrete barrier there, I don't need a permit for that. So we're going to do that and try and prevent. There was a lady renting next door who... was parking her car there because people were going through. So anyway, the Lord knows. And now none of our neighbors are parking here because they're worried about their car getting towed. But, you know, we've been a good neighbor to the neighbors. But some people take advantage, and they left cars here that were abandoned. And so when we needed to seal coat, we put some nice notes on their car saying, you need to move your car. So But I really don't mind. There's some working people in this neighborhood. They're good neighbors. They watch over the property when we're not here. So I don't mind if they park here. But we're going to be more diligent about cars that are just left here. Especially there's a neighbor over here who left like four cars in here. That's not, and they were just like abandoned. So anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. And we'll get right into the message this morning. Hebrews chapter 8, and I'm going to start with verse 1. But let's bow our heads to the Lord once again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful we can come to you, Lord. Lord, you're a present help in a time of trouble. We trust you, Lord. Our souls rest in your word. For we believe, Father, that even though the heavens above us will pass away and the earth beneath us shall pass away, that your word shall never pass away and it shall never fail. And Lord, we believe that according to your word, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, there's another body waiting for us. Lord, help us to do your will in this life. As Brother Tim was saying, Lord, we all want to know what you want us to do. Show us what your will is for our life, O God. Help us make decisions that are the right decisions, Lord. And Lord, today I ask you to lift us up in the heavenly places. May we be caught up into your word, O God. May we see something today that helps us on the road. An attribute of you, God, that is here to help us, that we should never forget. And Lord, I ask you to bless your people, Lord. They're not my people, Lord. They're your people. I ask you to bless them and help them meet their every need. Lord, I know there's many prayer requests that are unspoken today. We have many loved ones that we need you to touch them and change them and change us, Lord. Make us what you want us to be. Bless the reading of your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God, when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. God bless you. Well, I love to read the book of Hebrews. I think if you're looking for something to focus on, if you're, sometimes you get into some dry times in your life and you say, I need something to focus on. You know, during the midweek meetings, we're listening to that series. Brother Branham preached about the Hebrew series, and he preached about 11 sermons on the book of Hebrews, and then there was a question and answers that followed, but we're just going through slowly, taking it in, but that caused me to read the book of Hebrews again and go through it, you know. And I think it's good for us once in a while, instead of just taking chapters in a book and just reading a little bit here and there, going through a whole book, it gives you the context of it, you know. And so I've been combing, if you will, through the book of Hebrews, and I just love it. I love the book of Hebrews. I think it's a critical book in the New Testament. I find it to be very inspirational. There's so much there. I highly recommend you, if you're looking for something, focus on the book of Hebrews for a while. And so it ties the Old Testament to the New Testament. It tells us of the ministry of Christ. It explains some things, how he's our faithful high priest. And we talked about that, how God is so faithful and what a wonderful attribute that is of God, that we want that attribute of God to be in us. We want to be faithful. That's such it's a highly esteemed attribute of God that he's so faithful, and in the stars it reflects his faithfulness. I just love looking at that. But today I want to focus on another part, one part of his ministry, you could say a special attribute of God. He's a mediator. God is a mediator. And as it says in verse 6, but now he, this talking about Christ, he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. He's the mediator, which was established upon better promises. I love that. So today our title of the message is Our Great Mediator. Brothers and sisters, we have one great mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's really important that we just hammer this home and you get this point, because we need him. We need a mediator. And so we should be so thankful that Christ is that mediator. Because when I think about it, there's just no one else that could do a better job for us. There's no one else that could be. He's actually perfect as a mediator for us. And we'll go through the scriptures and talk about it and how we need to understand he is our faithful high priest. He is our great mediator. And you need to hold on to that. Not for when you're on the mountaintops and you're feeling so good, but when you go down into the valleys and you get into times where you're feeling alone, you're feeling distant from God, you need to remember he is a mediator for you. He is an intercessor. So what is a mediator? I look up that word and listen to the definition. One who settles disputes, etc. He's settling a dispute. He's reconciling. Reconciling. One who brings about an agreement, a truce, a peace, as an intermediator between parties by reconciliation. Amen. See that ministry of God? That's such a beautiful thing. That's God's desire, to be a mediator, to bring us back, to bring us back home. And mediate is a synonym for intercede. See, he's an intercessor. Mediator and intercessor are the same. Oh, we could just praise God all day to realize we have an intercessor.
Amen.
You are not alone. I am not alone. We're not in this alone. Even if we feel alone, even if we feel abandoned, we have a mediator. We have an intercessor. Amen. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's perfect at this job.
Amen.
He's so qualified, and we'll talk about it.
Amen.
Intercessor, to act in behalf of someone in difficulty. Anybody in difficulty today? You need an intercessor to act in behalf of someone in difficulty or in trouble, as by pleading or petition. I need a mediator today. We need a mediator. And you need to understand that the need is great. Sometimes I feel like we don't understand how great the need is. Sometimes I feel like people get into this rut of going through life and they just get numb to it. The world has become numb to sin. They become numb to it. You know, it's become common. We live in a Sodom world and a Sodom condition. And Amber and I were at the store the other day and we bought some things and the girl at the counter, nothing against the girl, but, you know, we bought a bicycle for Maureen. So it was her birthday. Happy birthday to Maureen. So so we bought her a bicycle, and I'm holding the bicycle, and the girl makes a strange comment. She wanted me to move out of the way, and she's like, "Well, I like girls, not guys." You know, she didn't need to say that. But see, that spirit is so pushy. That homosexual, that Sodom and Gomorrah spirit, they just keep pushing. It's not enough for them to have their own rights. That's what they say. But they're pushing on everybody, and you have to accept it. Well, it's not that we don't accept it. The Bible doesn't accept it.
Amen.
And when people want to call us hate people and intolerant, they are attacking the Word of God.
Amen.
And what we can do is just be compassionate to the world. We can say, listen, you know, I don't agree. You know, I stand with the Bible.
Amen.
And that spirit hates the Bible.
Sir.
But we stand for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We stand for the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't want those people to go to hell, but I know they're going the wrong way according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And so they can't push that on us. God help us to see the need. The condition of the world. This world is in a horrible condition. It's in a desperate condition. We need to understand how bad it is, not just the world, but ourselves. We need to see our need. So let's go to Isaiah 59. I wanted to read a good portion of the scripture here because I think this does a good job demonstrating the need that we have. Isaiah 59, verse 1. I have a lot of scriptures today.
Hallelujah.
Amber said to me, "You always have a lot of scriptures." I said, "Well, that's all right, isn't it? I'd rather read his word than my word."
Amen.
Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened." Aren't you glad of that? "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Now, that strikes me something I was thinking about, and we'll come back to it. The Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Do you realize that when you pray, it matters?
Amen.
And I was thinking about this. I was praying about this. The devil's tactic to get you not to pray is that when you pray, he tells you it doesn't matter. He wants you to feel that your prayer doesn't do any good. He's challenging the act of faith when you pray. Because Jesus said, when you pray and don't doubt. How often did Brother Branham said, "Have faith, don't doubt," in the prayer line. Have faith, don't doubt. So remember, be on guard for that. When you pray, the devil trying to inject doubt into your prayer that because of you personally, your prayer doesn't have any effect. You need to have faith that my prayer has an effect. My prayer can change the situation. My prayer will change the situation because I'm praying to my intercessor. I'm praying to the great high priest. And his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear.
Amen.
Had to get that off my chest. Verse 2.
But your iniquities, now listen, here's the need. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, and weave the spider's web. And he that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed beneath breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are in desolate places as dead men. Listen, there's a spiritual condition today that this is really talking about. This is our day. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. And transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Isaiah 59, you know, it talks about a condition. It talks about transgression separating us from God. You know, brothers and sisters, none of us can stand in the justice of God. None of us will stand in God's holy justice. We need help. We need a mediator. If we sin, we are dead. It's we're dead men. We're walking as dead men when we walk in our sins. What we need is we need someone to help us. We need someone to save us. Just thinking how no one is worthy. God looked and no one is worthy. That makes me think of Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Let me just read that. We read that a lot around the message. Revelation 5:1-4. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Can we see how great the need is? John wept much because why? All was lost. Mankind was doomed under God's holy justice. We are doomed as individuals. We cannot stand. It doesn't matter. Well, I've been pretty good. I think I'll be okay. We cannot depend on our righteousness. We cannot depend on any good work. We cannot depend on anything we've done. We can only be solemnly resting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the perfect sacrifice. Nothing in my arms I bring, simply to the cross I cling. God's justice is coming upon this earth. God's judgment's coming upon this earth. It's just like when that death angel was coming down into Egypt to take the firstborn. And there was Israel there. There had to be the token on the door. There had to be the visible sign that the sacrifice was killed. And the blood had to be applied on the door. And the same is true today. The only way that we can get out of the justice coming from God on this world is to have a token on display. And the token today is not the literal blood, it's the life that was in the blood on display in our life. We must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everything comes down to that in this hour. It's so critical. You're not going to go in the rapture without an experience with God. You must have an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a seal. It's a sign, like God said to Abraham, "Yes, I have received thy faith. Because you believe me, it's as righteousness to you." But after he believed, God sealed the covenant with circumcision. Circumcision was a sign that God had received Abraham's faith. And we today, we need that sign upon us that God has received our faith. The sign is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not good enough that we say we believe. The devil believes and trembles. We need that experience with God. There's a desperate need. Every one of us has that desperate need. Oh, can we see it? We need a mediator. We need an intercessor. We need someone that can help us, someone that can save us from our sins. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And for this cause, now notice, look at what he did. He went in to that holy place. And because he was a spotless lamb, he went in with the perfect sacrifice. And his blood went on there. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
Amen.
That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He paid the price for us. By His own blood. By His own blood. See, God's justice was so severe, and the need was so great on mankind. And man, there was no one worthy. And John looked and he wept because it was all going to be lost. But it all couldn't stand God's justice. John saw the problem and he wept. We're doomed. There's no one worthy. But then Jesus came.
Amen.
The spotless Lamb. See, Jesus is the very heart of God. God saw His justice, His holiness, because God is just.
Amen.
And God is holy.
Amen.
And He saw that being applied on mankind, and there was no man worthy. No man could do anything about it. No man could make it right. No man could stand in the gap. So God had to come Himself.
Amen.
He came Himself and took upon Himself the justice that was imposed upon mankind.
Hallelujah.
And if it hadn't been for Him coming, we would be all be lost. John would be right to weep because it was all lost. There was nothing we can do. Thank God there's a mediator.
Amen.
Thank God there's an intercessor that came.
Amen.
Thank God that He came.
Hallelujah.
The spotless one.
Amen. Glory be to you.
Brothers and sisters, He came and paid the price.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You and I could never pay that price.
Amen.
No one will ever have to pay it again.
Amen.
No one has to be crucified for sins. He paid it all.
Amen.
On Calvary.
Amen.
And now we have to look and believe and confess it.
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Praise the Lord. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Oh, we're looking at our great high priest, our great mediator. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. See, if you were ever part of God, you were always part of God.
Amen.
Say, how is that possible? I don't remember being part of God. I hardly remember when I was a little child. All I remember is I was like 4 or 5 years old. I started having memories. And what are you talking about? If you ever were part of God, you were always part of God. If you were ever going to have eternal life, you were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He said to Job, "Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? When the morning stars sang together?" See, brothers and sisters, there's an unconscious part of us that was with God before we were manifested here. We are sons and daughters of God. We're always part of God. But in this life, we manifest something. And we become partakers of flesh and blood. Even though there's an eternal part of us that is not flesh and blood. Verse 14, "For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You know, anybody who hasn't been born again is still in that category. Afraid, fear. You ever talk to people that aren't really Christians about dying? They're scared. The fear of the unknown. They don't know what it's going to be. But when you're born again, the Spirit of God quickens to you. Death is a doorway to a better life. Now, we don't desire to take our life here because we know He has a plan and we're part of that plan.
Amen.
And yes, it's hard here, but He has something He wants us to do. So we don't want to leave one day early or one day later.
That's true.
But whenever He wants us to go, we're ready to go. By the grace of God. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to help.
Amen.
he's able to help. Don't you see? God is the perfect intercessor. He's the perfect mediator. Because God, even though he's so great, he expands all time and eternity, but he condescended. He came down and became a kinsman redeemer. He became like us. Do you believe that? God became man. He took on flesh and blood. He suffered in that he was tempted. Temptation is not sin. Giving in to temptation is sin. Amen. Resisting temptation is suffering that Jesus suffered. Yeah. He knows what it's like to be in flesh and blood. Yeah. That's why he's the perfect high priest.
Amen.
That's why when you're suffering and even if you fail, you can go to him and say, God, help me.
Amen.
And he understands.
Hallelujah.
He knows right where you are. He's such a great mediator. He became flesh and blood, a kinsman, tempted like us in all things, yet without sin. He's the spotless lamb. We're not the spotless lamb. No, we're spotted lambs. But we have our sacrifices, him, the perfect one.
Amen.
See, the perfect one. He suffered in the flesh. He's able to help us and bring aid to those that are tempted. He became like us, that he could die for us. He became sin. Think of that. He became sin. And when he was crucified, he paid the price for sin. He took upon himself the justice that should have been on us for sin. And he became flesh and blood that he could take up the cross. What love is in God? What a mediator.
Amen.
This is not a myth. This is real life. This is the only real truth there is. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And receiving the good news. The problem is, brother and sister, many times we hear the good news, but in our daily life we don't apply it to ourselves.
Amen.
By faith we have to say, I have an intercessor.
Amen.
I have a mediator. I'm in trouble. I'm no good, but he is good.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I go to him and I confess his name and I confess that he took my place.
Amen.
And I confess my sins and I repent and he is faithful.
Amen.
To forgive me of my
Amen.
Sins. In other words, we don't stay in the pit. We get out of the pit.
Amen.
We repent. That's a practical part of our everyday life. When we do wrong, we confess that we did wrong.
Amen.
God help us.
Help us, Lord.
Circumcision of the heart.
Amen.
That's the Holy Ghost. See, people without the Holy Ghost, they don't repent. They don't feel that conviction in their heart. See, they make it sad. And they may give an apology. But the Holy Ghost pricks our heart.
Amen.
And we don't want to keep going the same way. We turn around and go the other way.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I give it back to you. It's not enough to apologize.
Amen.
An apology is, I'm driving down the highway, and there's an over ramp that I could get off and go the other way. But I say I'm sorry, and I keep going down the highway with no intention of changing.
Amen.
But repentance is, you get off the ramp and you go up and you go over the bridge, Calvary, and you come back and you go down the other way again.
Amen.
Praise God. There's a turning around.
Amen.
Turn around and go the other way. But Brother John, I've turned around so many times and I find myself on the wrong path. Don't worry about that. You commit that to God.
Amen.
You keep turning around. If you're going the wrong way, turn around.
Amen.
Turn around. If you're transgressing, stop and turn around. Praise God.
Amen.
He became sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, this is a powerful scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all things are of God who hath reconciled. Remember, he's a mediator. He's an intercessor. He's reconciling us. What's he doing? He's bringing us back. He's always bringing us back. That's the wonderful thing about God. He doesn't want to leave us out there. He wants to bring us back. The devil wants you to stay out there. Christ wants you to come back. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Whoa! We become part of that.
Amen.
We'll get to that. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Do you believe that?
Amen.
In the plan of God, Jesus Christ was made to be sin. What a paradox. The sinless one became sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, there's another part to this, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Do you see the plan of God?
Lord.
He is a great mediator. He was part of the plan. He was the bridge that God made to bring us back, to reconcile us. And now he's in that ministry of the Holy Ghost where he's calling to us, drawing us back, leading us, inspiring us to come God's perfect way. See, we can't make it our own way. We can't do it the way we want to do it. We got to do it God's way. We got to humble ourselves and come to God's provided way. He hath made him to be sin for us. Brothers and sisters, this is not just the sins of the world. This is your sins. He became your sin that you could be the righteousness of God. I say, Brother John, that's too much to handle. I mean, how can I be as righteous as God? He made a way. He made a way. Well, that's hard for me to believe. You must believe. You must believe what the Word of God says. He became sin that we could be the righteousness of God. So when you get a clear revelation and you see what he's done, you realize what Calvary... Listen, Calvary was real. It happened in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. But then God manifested this world and God manifested Christ. And he literally took up that cross and he literally was beaten and bruised. They literally pulled his beard from his face. He literally died on that cross. Thorns in his head. Beaten beyond recognition. His visage was marred, the scripture said. God took pain on himself. Because he had taken sins of the world, your sins, my sins, upon himself. And he knew when he took that punishment and he was crucified that our sins, the payment was made. And now, because of what he did, all we have to do is believe the good news and look to Jesus and live and confess, he took my place. That revelation's clear to me. He became my sin that I could become his righteousness. Not by my works, not by my good deeds, but by faith in what he did. What a mediator. What an intercessor. What a God that he would condescend down to such a place. That he would humble himself and lower himself to take on our sins. Listen, there's going to be a people, there's going to be a group of individuals that believe that with all their heart.
Amen.
And they apply that in their life. They don't doubt it for one bit. And that's why they love him. They love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Praise God. What a God.
Amen.
Certainly he's the most qualified one to be our mediator. Don't we see that great mediator that works in his people? He works in his people. Once he reconciles an individual to himself, he uses that individual to reconcile others. That's the Holy Ghost. See, we by nature are selfish. It's just me. That's why when some people have a religious spirit, me and my four, no more, and I don't care about the sinners. I don't care who goes to hell. That's not Christ. Christ in you will make you care about the sinners. You don't want them to die in their sins. You want them to be reconciled.
Amen.
And what do? Christ in you points them to Calvary and shows them the good news, telling others, oh, what a mediator we have. Oh, what a savior we have. Oh, we have an intercessor. You got problems? You say you need something practical? I'm giving you the most practical thing to help you in your life. Jesus Christ took your place. Jesus Christ bore in himself all of your, the payment for all of your burdens. He paid for everything you'd ever have need of on Calvary.
Amen.
If you can believe. If thou canst believe. He's a great mediator. We can tell people now, he's a great mediator. He sits on the right hand of God, the power of God. He's there and he's a faithful high priest. He's ready. I love this. He's ready to make intercessions based on our profession. Do you believe that? You see, brothers and sisters, we believe it up here, but there's a disconnect sometimes down here because why don't we do it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's the same reason the devil attacks when you pray. See, he gets you to doubt that God's going to... He said, your prayers don't matter. Why do you think your prayers matter? Who do you think you are? The devil always puts the focus back on you. He'll never put the focus back on him. And what he promised. See, that's why we got to keep our eyes on him. Keep your eyes on what he's done. Keep your eyes on the faithful high priest, the great mediator our God is, the great intercessor, and what he promised he will do. Don't allow the devil to make you doubt because of what you've done. It's more important what you believe than what you've done. What do you believe about it? He took my place. Praise God. He took my place. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
He's ready to make intercession based on our profession. How can we refuse such a God? How can we turn away? He's our only hope. You know that?
Amen.
He's we need to run to Jesus. We need to repent and run to Jesus every day.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Ask for God's mercy.
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews 12. We talk about the judgments of God that are coming on this earth. Brother and sister, what a time. It's not time to play. It's time to get serious with God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Of course, he's talking about the Old Testament Mount Sinai. It was scary, right? And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which... voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched a mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Let me stop right there. Think of that Old Testament. When they were approaching God, the lightning, the thundering, the dark clouds, the voice of God thundering, it thundered. And the people were so scared. Moses was scared, trembling. And the people said, Moses, listen, don't let him speak to us anymore. You go in, Moses, and speak to him, and then you come back and talk to us. Is that right? That's in the Bible. And God said, I like that. I'm going to do that. I like to use prophets. He still uses prophets.
Amen.
He used a prophet in the last days.
Amen.
Behold, I'll send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Amen.
He loved that spirit of Elijah. He used it on John. He used it on Elijah. He used it on Elisha. Right? He used it on John the Baptist. He used it in the last days before the rapture of the Gentile bride. He's going to use it again. Moses and Elijah to the Jews.
Amen.
God uses prophets. We live in a world that thinks every prophet's a false prophet. I'm so glad to know that God's still God.
Amen.
He does what he wants
Amen.
To do. Verse 22, but ye are come unto the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaking, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Brother and sir, listen, this world is being shaken, and it's going to continue to be shaken, and the shaking is going to get more severe, and the only thing left standing are those that have a mediator. The mediator, the great mediator, the great intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to keep getting worse. The economy is not going to get better. The economy is going to keep getting worse. Amen. Why is the world so surprised when something bad happens? Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me. I'm expecting it because judgments are going to strike this earth. They're going to continue to strike this earth. The birth pains are coming, and they're coming greater, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be painful, and this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Just as Matthew was singing, heaven's my home. This world's not my home. This tabernacle's not my home. This mortal body's not where I'm going to live forever. This is the testing ground. This is the proving ground. But there's another body.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's a higher being.
Amen.
It's a higher body.
Hallelujah.
It's eternal.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Do you believe with all your heart?
Amen.
There is a tabernacle that has no sickness.
Hallelujah.
There is a place that has no sorrow, no death. We're living in the negative life of the positive. The Bible promises that we're going to another place. Real life. Real love. Real fellowship. That's home. This is a life. Don't hold on to this life. This is a life of disappointments. This is a life where trouble's just around the corner. This is a life where Christians are expecting the devil just to give them a lick right around the corner. We have our defenses up because there is a devil going about like a roaring lion. Why would we want to make a home here? Why do we hold on so desperately to the things here? Why do we spend so much trying to gain here? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Don't let your priorities get out of line. Too many times we put earthly things above the things of God. We've got to put God first. Go to your mediator. Go to your intercessor first. Repent of all your sins. Get right with God. You want your relationships to be right? Get your relationship right with God. You want your financial things to be right? Get right with God.
Yes, sir.
Well, once I get this right, then I'll come to God. Once I fix myself, then I'll come to God. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
Amen.
That's the biggest lie the devil throws at sinners. You can't go to God the way you are. You got to fix yourself first. I say you can't fix yourself. Come as you are. Let him fix you.
Amen.
He is our righteousness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad.
Hallelujah.
I have this revelation. I have someone I can go to.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I have an intercessor. I have a mediator. I got trouble on this earth. He's the first one I go to. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know what to do.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I too many choices in front of me. I don't know what to do, but I know you know which way to go. I tell you what, it's so practical to me. When I lose something, I just kneel down and pray.
Amen.
You know where it is. You ever do that?
Amen.
And then you find it.
Hallelujah.
Well, that was just a coincidence. I don't believe that for 1 minute.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's God.
Amen.
He's Hallelujah. Practical.
Praise the living Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Glory.
Things that are shaken, there's coming a shaking, brother, sister.
Yes, sir, it is.
You know, I get earthquake notices on my phone. When it's above a certain level and the earthquakes, they're coming. They just keep coming. Earthquakes, that ring of fire. It's just, it's on fire. It's rumbling underneath. California is doomed. We know that's the truth. See, I'm not saying that there's a physical place to be. We need to be in Christ. We need to get in the ark. What's the ark? The Holy Ghost is the ark. We need to come to Jesus. We can never stand the judgments of God that are coming, that are here now. We need mercy. We need a mediator. I need a mediator. We need someone to stand in the gap for us. He wants you to ask. You know, he was on the road to Emmaus, two of his disciples, and he was talking to them about the scriptures. He was opening their understanding of the scriptures. Of course he loved them. Of course he wanted to be with them. But there's an attribute of God that wants to be asked. God, in the end of the day, real Christianity is not forced religion. Real Christianity is wanting God, seeking God, wanting to get closer to Him. He draws us, yes, and He drew them while He was talking to them, right? But then when it got to Emmaus, He made as though He would have kept going. Why did He do that? Why does God do that? I can't explain it, but He does. Brothers and sisters, He's dealing with you and I. We read the Bible, and He ministers to us. We're, by the grace of God, we can see God sent a prophet. We listen to those sermons of a prophet, and God deals with us. He gives us revelation. He gives us all these things. He draws us. Nobody really wants, though. He wants us to want Him. He'll make as though He's going to leave us. Can you imagine how Peter and Salome, whatever his name was there, the two men on the Emmaus, when Jesus was talking to them all day, and then He made as though, they're like, where are you going? They felt bad. I believe they felt bad. They're like, stay with us. If you ever get that feeling that God's away, don't have a pity party. Go to your mediator. Go to your intercessor. Say, Lord, stay with me. Don't pull away. I'm sorry. If I've offended you, Lord, forgive me. Help me. I need you. I want you. Baptize me with your spirit. See, He wants us to ask Him. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's our God. He's so great, but He's so humble.
Amen.
You know what I'm afraid? We get busy. We get busy with our life. I got a job. I got family. I got things to do. I got so many things to do. Surely the Lord understands. He does understand. But He wants us to make time. He wants us to say, you know what? I'm really busy, but I need God. I need to pray. And when I pray, I'm not going to believe the lies of the devil. That doesn't matter. My prayer changes things, not because of me, but because when the weakest of Christians goes to their knees, the devil trembles.
Amen.
And it's not because of me, it's because of who I'm going to. I'm going to a faithful high priest. I'm going to my intercessor, my mediator, my God. And He's waiting for me to confess His word so He can make intercession based on my profession. Praise God.
Amen.
What a mediator. We're so blessed.
Amen.
You know what happens when we're not being blessed? It's not His fault. It's because we're living below our privileges.
Amen.
And that's the honest truth. God has given us everything we have need of. But He wants us to confess His word. He wants us to want His spirit, to spend time with Him. Brother John, I'm so busy. I just don't feel good. And I don't feel good about myself. There's a mediator. You have a mediator. You have a faithful high priest. You have someone who understands. He understands what you're going through. He understands the trial. He understands the pressures of this world. He understands you better than you understand yourself.
Amen.
He does. Yes, he does.
Amen,
he's God.
Amen.
But I don't understand how he understands everything. You don't need to understand that. You need to believe it.
Amen.
Only believe. All things are possible. We turn to him as a child. Unless we become as little children, you cannot receive.
Amen.
Cannot enter. Father, help me. Abba, Father, I need you. Save me. Deliver me. Help me. Praise God. You know, he's there for us. He's there for us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What a great, great, wonderful high priest. Aren't you so thankful we have someone to go to?
Yes.
Such a person. Amen. He shed his blood that we could be free. Let's go to Hebrews 4. I want to show you something here.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Do you believe the word of God? There is no one thing on this earth that is not manifest in his sight. There's no person, there's no creature, no being. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Look at what he's encouraging us to do. Hold fast your profession. What you believe in your heart is right.
Hallelujah.
Hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore boldly, what is boldly? Boldly come.
Amen.
Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He's not just there for us when things are going well. He's there for us, especially in the time of need. What is a Savior? He comes and save when we cannot save. See, Brother Bram said that was a God-dishonoring term when they said God helps those that help themselves. He said that's God-dishonoring because the heart of God is a Savior that comes when you can't do anything
Amen.
For yourself. He wants to be that Savior for us. He wants to be our mediator. He's waiting to intercede for us. He is sitting there on the throne. His blood is on the throne, making it a mercy seat. I believe it's still there on the mercy seat. One day he's going to come off that throne and take this bride, and then the mercy seat will be no more. It'll be a throne of judgment. But right now, I believe with all my heart, it's a mercy seat. I believe we're still in that time where he's waiting there, listening for his children to come to him and pray. Your prayers matter. Don't ever believe your prayers don't matter. Your prayers matter. When you pray in faith, God hears your prayer. His ear is not heavy and dull. God, save me. God, deliver me. God, help me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord, I'm praying for my loved one. I'm praying for this situation. Lord, send help. Pray with faith. It matters. Your prayers matter.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I was praying in the office there, and something came to me about prayer. It matters.
Amen.
It matters. It matters. Your prayers matter. What you say in prayer matters. Don't let the devil rob you from prayer. It's your greatest weapon.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord. Amen.
Faith, the sword of the word of God, is powerful and quick and sharp, but you have to have the strong arm of faith to cut through the doubts of the devil. He is my high priest. He is listening. He makes intercession based on my profession. By his stripes, I am healed.
Amen.
By his sacrifice, I am saved.
Amen.
We need to apply that in faith and confess it every day of our life. By faith, we come to Jesus. By faith, we accept his sacrifice. By faith, we become partakers of this covenant. By faith, we are saved. By faith, we pray, confessing what his word promised to us. Despite what we see with our eyes, despite all of our doubts and fears, by faith, we believe the word of God. And we confess the word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
It matters.
Amen.
Your prayer matters. The devil's lying to people. They get down to pray and they feel horrible about themselves. And the devil says, why bother? Doesn't matter. Why should you even pray? He's such a liar. He's such a liar. He doesn't want you to do the very thing that will bring deliverance. Is to pray in faith and thank God for his deliverance.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? It doesn't hurt to sing either.
Amen.
It doesn't hurt to worship the Lord.
Amen.
And when we break through the gloominess and we get to the revelation of what God's done for us, just start worshiping the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Just praise him. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord of all, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. His name is Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior. Hallelujah. Glorious Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir. Amen.
It changes the atmosphere.
Hallelujah. Yes, it does. Amen.
Say, but we're in church, Brother John. You can do that alone. You can do that on your own. You can do. I can't tell you how many times I have this gloomy feeling, just gloomy. Oh, it comes on you. And then you start to sing and you start to say his name and you say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your mercy. You touched me one day. Lord, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But Lord, because of you, I'm not what I used to be. Because one day you touched me and I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for delivering me. I thank you for delivering me, Lord. I thank you for saving my family. And you confess the word of God and you start to sing praises to him.
Amen.
And the atmosphere changes.
Hallelujah.
You know, the devil leaves.
Amen.
He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that atmosphere because he's defeated when you have victory.
Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
Romans 5, chapter 1 says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. Therefore, being justified by faith, how are we justified? By faith. By our works? Something we've done? Something we've earned? No, by believing what he said.
Amen.
Therefore, being justified, it means I'm just as I should be in the sight of God, as righteous as God. Praise the Lord. because he took my place. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Don't you want peace with God? See, that's what the reconciliation does. It brings us, there's a conflict, there's a dispute. The devil's saying, no, you're not God's. And then he brings you back. And then by faith, we believe and we confess, he took my place. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. We love that song because there's a truth behind it, see? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By faith we are justified in the sight of God. And through Jesus Christ we have peace with God. Jesus becomes our peacemaker. Let me say this. When he saves us and he lives with us, we become peacemakers. We become reconcilers. We become intercessors. We can never be what he is, but he lives in us. Amen. And he acts the same way.
Amen.
Praise God. Matthew 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Amen.
Peacemakers. Not troublemakers. Peacemakers. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. See, I believe when he's in you, he seeks that. I believe it's a different spirit in people that seeks conflict with other people. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Jesus is a peacemaker. As much as possible, lie within you, live peaceably with all men. That's God's desire.
Amen.
To live peaceably with all men. But some spirits get in people and they're always trying to have conflict. I just can't see how that's Christ. He's a peacemaker. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I wish, you know, when Jesus lives in you, I think we want everybody to have the peace of God, right? We want everybody to be at peace with God, there's something in us, pointing people to Calvary, pointing people to be reconciled with God, pointing souls to Christ, sharing the good news of Christ. Let's go to 1 Timothy. There's some more scripture for that. I'll try and finish up soon here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, does that exclude anybody? No. He's saying, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, well, Brother John, we don't have a king in the U.S. The president's in there, okay? For kings, and for all that are in authority, there you go, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now you can dispute about that, but John, everybody's not going to be saved, so obviously God doesn't want all men saved. Listen, you're thinking on different levels. Just because he knows the end from the beginning doesn't mean he doesn't want everyone to be saved, right? God help us.
Amen.
Well, I believe just what it says. I come down as a simple person reading the Bible who will have all men to be saved. It's God's preference. He doesn't force it on everybody. It's his preference that all would be saved. Do you believe that?
Amen.
All right. It should be ours.
Amen.
It should be ours. To come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Aren't you glad to know there's a mediator today? I want to finish up with just one more scripture I want to share with you. I'm so glad to know that there was one that was worthy. We'll go back to that Revelations 5, chapter 1, that what we read, where John saw. Let's all stand. I'd like to just read this to you. And I'd like you to get caught up into this scripture as we I'm going to read down through verse 14 here. Because you're in this scripture. Find yourself in this chapter.
Amen.
Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith to me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise your Lord. Let's bow our heads to him. Amen. Heavenly Father, oh, thou art worthy, O Lord.
Amen.
Thou art a great intercessor, our great high priest, our great mediator, Lord. Thou wast worthy, Lord, to take the book and loose the seals thereof, O God. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thou art worthy to be God of our life.
Thank you.
Thou art worthy to be worshipped, Lord Jesus. You are worthy above all. There's no name under heaven whereby men can be saved. There's no greater name. There's no greater being. You are our God. Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, we want to see you reign on this earth. We want to see you take the throne, O God. And we bow down before you. Help us to bow down in our daily life. Help us to turn to you in the time of trouble. May we believe what your word says, O God. May we have faith, Lord. And may we apply that in our daily life. And may we confess what your word says, even when we don't feel good, Lord. May we not trust our feelings. May we trust what we believe in our heart, that you are God and you paid the price for all of our sins and you took our place on Calvary. And by that sacrifice, we are saved from death, hell, and the grave. And we shall live forever with you, Lord. And we shall worship you, Lord. How we long to see you, O God. Lord, bless your people today. May they take the thoughts, Lord, and not look on the chopped up message, Lord, but just take the thoughts that are from you, God, and may they meditate on them day and night. May they realize that they have a great mediator. They have someone they can turn to. They have someone who understands where they are and what they need. You suffered when you were tempted, Lord. We're suffering in this life, O God. Help us, Lord. Deliver us, O God. Give us wisdom. Help us, Lord. And may we have your heart and your mind in us, Lord, reaching out to the lost, reconciling others to you. Lord, bless each one today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you musicians will come, just worship him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love him today?
Amen.
Our great mediator, our great God. I just keep thinking about that song, Jesus, name above all names. Amen. Beautiful Savior. Amen. Jesus, name above all name, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord of Lords.